When's the first actual mention of heaven? Because I think this is interesting that there really is kind of that we can see the development from, at least in biblical thought, from an afterlife to a heaven.
Right. The first mention of heaven in the Bible or anything like heaven, and it also includes, and this is really important, a physical resurrection or some kind of resurrection of the body, is in the book of Daniel, which was written the book of Daniel was written by many people over hundreds of years, but the passage I'm talking about was written about 200, 160 BCE, before Jesus. And circumstances had sort of conspired to create a situation for the Jewish people, or the people who were to become the Jewish people, that was very difficult. They lived in the Greek Empire. The Greek Empire was extremely prosperous. It was, you know, the biggest game in town. The Greeks had languages and culture, money, education, government, all kinds of what we would call now sort of global, cosmopolitan ideals and ideas about how to live, but they were polytheists, as we know. They believed in many, many gods. And what was unique about Judaism from its very, very, very beginnings was that it was a monotheistic religion. For the first, it was one God. And the teachers and the rabbis, the people who were to become the rabbis, the people who were the leaders of the Jewish people in Jerusalem at that time, were under a lot of pressure to assimilate to Greek culture. And, the Greek leaders were saying, our gods are good, our temples are good, our education system is good, and you guys should do this too. And in fact, things got really, really difficult, and there was a conflict around the time of a king named Antiochus, which is a time that Jews retell every winter as the Hanukkah story, where Antiochus came in and said to the Jews, you know, you can't worship your one God, you have to worship the many. You can't circumcise your sons. You can't eat your special food. You have to be Greek. Enough with this separateness, enough with this monotheism. And he put a statue of Zeus in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And this was a crisis, like an unspeakable crisis for the Jewish people. And there was a teacher who, in my book I call Daniel, we don't know who actually he was, but he was watching this violence really unfold. And he wrote these verses, and the verses basically say, I'm paraphrasing, you know, and the righteous among you, it starts out by saying, some of those of you who sleep will rise, and the righteous among you will live with God forever and ever and be like the stars, and those of you who lead others to righteousness. So what he was saying was, if you are among those who stay Jewish, who can stay Jewish in the face of this incredible pressure not to, you will be able to go to heaven. And in heaven, you will have a life like your own life with God forever and ever. And this was an incredible idea in that culture at that time. So although there were many afterlives that the Jews, the people who became the Jews, would have come across in their history, the Egyptian afterlife, as you said earlier, Zoroastrian afterlife, Greek afterlife, this correlation to righteous behavior, which is what the Bible calls it, whether it's goodness or faithfulness, and being with God, was a completely new idea in the Jewish context, completely.
So this really not until the book of Daniel mentions that the good will go to heaven to be with God. Not until that point is there a notion that heaven is being opened up to more than just superstars like Enoch.
Right.
And that, I mean, he was, you know, he was a guy that he walked with God. That's what made Enoch so special. But he was a rarity. And I guess we could even say the Garden of Eden, in a way, might have been the prototype for heaven, but wasn't necessarily considered heaven. You didn't die and go to the Garden of Eden.
No.
You went to...
Right. The Hebrew Bible, and specifically the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, when the people who wrote that text talk about heaven, they talk about the sky. That's it. You know, they talk about the place where God lives in the sky. And in fact, one of the things I find so interesting is that it's emphatically not a place where people go. And whenever anybody tries to go to heaven, they get whacked, you know.
Right.
The Tower of Babel is a perfect example, right? People got together and tried to build a tower to reach heaven. And, you know, the tower came crashing down, and the people were dispersed. When Jacob lays his head down on a rock and has his vision of the ladder to heaven, which is a very, very famous image in the Bible, and he sees the angels coming up and down the ladder, in spite of the paintings that you may have in your head, what he actually says when he has that vision is, "This is terrifying. It must be the home of God." He doesn't say, "Gosh, this is a place I want to go." He says, you know, "No, this is forbidden to us. Heaven is God's home. His angels live there. And people, souls or living people, are not allowed to go." So this idea that you might ascend to the sky to live with God after you die is an extraordinary idea.